My little granddaughter, Zoe, likes to help Nana out in the kitchen. She'll pull a chair up to the counter and stand there on the chair while she helps Nana in the kitchen. I suspect you have had your children or grandchildren do a similar sort of thing. But in this case, I'm wondering, how good would the pancakes turn out if it weren't for Patty reading the recipe book? How good would it be if it weren't Patty who was measuring the stuff, handing her the measuring spoons so she could measure it, and setting the temperature on the griddle and all of those kinds of things, right? Yeah? It's great to have help, but sometimes it's just not enough, right? Sometimes we like to help God out. And I feel like Zoe a lot. I don't know about you, but it happens for me that if it weren't God who was reading the recipe book and measuring stuff out and setting just the right amount of heat, which he's fond of doing sometimes, I might be half-baked. Hey, wait. That doesn't sound good, does it? God is in the business of doing things in this world. He didn't just wind it up and throw it in a drawer and let it sit. God wants to work in our world. He wants to make a difference. And we get to help. We get to do wonderful things. And I think of a couple of examples of that. Turn with me in your Bibles. I want to contrast two stories in your Bible. Turn with me to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17, the disciples got a chance to help out. Matthew 17. Most of the time when we talk about Matthew 17, we're thinking about what was going on top of the mountain. I want to think about what was going on at the bottom of the mountain just for a moment. Matthew 17. And let's focus in on verse 16, Matthew 17 and verse 16, because this man was desperate. There was a great need there. He'd come at the right time to find Jesus. And here were his disciples. He's talking with Jesus and he says, "So I brought him," meaning his son, "the son who was possessed. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Evidently, they had tried and failed. They'd worked at it, they'd done something, but it hadn't worked for them. Weren't they Jesus' disciples? Yeah. Didn't they know Jesus? Yeah. Didn't they love Jesus? Yeah. And it still didn't work for them. Now turn with me to the book of Acts. Right at the beginning again, chapter 2 this time. And you know what was happening in chapter 2 right there at the beginning? Day of Pentecost. Read with me in verse 4, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. "And they," who are they? The disciples, right? "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So we have these same people, Jesus' disciples, those who loved Jesus, those who were serving Jesus, those who were in the church, one time they couldn't do anything. And then suddenly here they are doing something totally extraordinary, speaking in tongues so much so that it amazed the entire crowd that was gathered there for this festival of Pentecost. What was the difference? What made the difference between one and the other? How could they be seemingly so powerless at one point and then so full of the Holy Ghost's power later? How did that happen? What was the difference? You remember what had happened in Acts chapter 1. That they had gathered in that upper room, that they were all of one accord, yes? That they were having a relationship with one another that was a relationship that Jesus had tried to foster the entire time he was with them. And also they had strengthened the relationship with God. They'd spent 10 days in prayer, seeking God, trying to come close to him. They had taken pain to be connected with God and connected with one another. They had fulfilled the conditions that Jesus had said, wait. You see, back in Matthew, they were doing it in their strength. Hey, we've got this. We can handle this. Remember, Jesus told how that kind comes out, right? By prayer and fasting. And they were not doing that in Matthew. But by the time we get to Acts, they're on board with Jesus. 100%. No questions asked. They'd had a revival in their experience with God. You still have your book with you? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. And this week, we're going over the chapter Evangelism and Revival. You see, evangelism is tied to revival. If there is no revival, no genuine revival, there is no evangelism. But as there is a revival, we can't help but share what Jesus has done for us. It's so wonderful what God has done. It springs out of that heart. And so out of the revival comes the evangelism. I hope that as we've been going through this, as you've been considering this revival, as you've been coming back to the Lord, not that you've ever left Him. The disciples hadn't left Him. The disciples were still the disciples. They were still God's chosen people. And that, so needing a revival doesn't mean that you stopped being God's people. It means that it's time to come closer, to have a deeper experience, a renewal of that closeness with Jesus. And that's what these disciples did in that upper room. And thus, there was their strength versus the Holy Spirit's strength. Their inability to do what this man needed, that great need at that time. And then at the time when Jesus had told them they were ready, they'd filled the conditions, they stepped up and God brought His Holy Spirit power to them. They were ready for it. It wasn't about their strength. It was about God's strength. And now Jesus had given them this great commission. How would they ever fulfill it? How many were in that upper room? 120. What's 120? What is that? The Roman Empire was a couple of million. How are they going to reach a couple of million with 120? With nothing. No cars. No phones. No phones. What? How could they possibly do it? It was the promise of the Holy Spirit. And look at the results of that promise. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. Look what happened. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. Yes. And that day, about how many? 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine? Without even a cell phone, they managed to pull together a flash mob of 3,000 in one day. 3,000 in a single day, because they had something special? Because they had cool technology? No, because God was working with them. The Holy Spirit was working through them. That made all the difference. Acts chapter 4. Look at what the promise was able to accomplish. Acts chapter 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. All right, so here we have, on the day of Pentecost, 120 gathered in the upper room, and a few days later in Acts chapter 4, we have 5,000 just of the men. That doesn't count the women and children, so maybe as many as 15,000, 20,000 maybe, in just a little while, a few days, because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what the Holy Spirit could do in Lakeland? Look at Acts chapter 6. We can see again what the Holy Spirit was doing. Acts chapter 6 again. Chapter 6, verse 7. Are you with me? Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples, what? Multiplied. We're not just working on addition here. We're working on multiplication. Multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests, wow, even those who had, when Jesus was here, been against all of this, had seemed the enemies of Christ, now they were joining. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. God can even take enemies and turn them into disciples because of His power. Paul in Acts chapter 9 was converted, and he went out around Asia Minor planting churches, spreading the gospel everywhere he went. Peter in Acts chapter 10 went to the Gentiles. What? To the Gentiles, the gospel to the Gentiles. Praise God, the gospel to the Gentiles. Because that means I can be here too. Praise God. And it began to spread all over the Roman Empire. Genuine revival always, always has a corresponding evangelism outreach. Always. It will reach out. A revival without witnessing results in either self-righteousness, I'm better than you now, or complacency, I'm good, thank you, everything's fine, I don't need anything else. You see, that revival has to be accompanied by evangelism. The two have to go together. Brothers and sisters, as we've been praying for revival, as we've been asking the Lord to touch our hearts, to come into our church, to breathe new life into us, we need to be praying too that that will spill out, that God will reach out through us. This is not about us. This is not about making us God's people. We are God's people. We now need to be touched by the Holy Spirit and reach out to the world, dying in need of knowing a Savior. A Savior who loves them. That's our work for this time. We are called to be the people going out to spread the gospel. We see it all through Acts. It happened again and again as people were put in touch with God. That spirit of revival leaked out in evangelism. Acts chapter 12. Look at Acts chapter 12, another example. Acts chapter 12, what will it be as we allow God's Word to come into our hearts to make a difference in our lives? Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. Acts 12, 24. But the Word of God grew and multiplied. God's Word grew and multiplied. The estimation is that that grew from 120 to over 1 million followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in just 30 years. With no cell phones. I don't know how it was possible if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the only way. What about the Advent movement? What about God's people today? Where are we? You see, for those disciples in Matthew and again in Acts, the need was great. The time was right. And what about us today? Can we say that today the need for God to intervene in our world, to make a difference in our world, to come into our world is worse today or not so much today as it was 120 years ago? What would you say? Worse. There's a greater need today, isn't there? That God make a difference in our world. That God make a presence in this world. And brothers and sisters, you and I are God's presence in this world. That's us making a difference. That's why we're here. That's what we're destined to do. We are here to bless this world, to be God's hands and feet, to go on His errands, to bless people for Him. You see, the disciples in the upper room met the conditions. They began to have that relationship with Jesus, that prayer relationship, that revival that was needed. And they had a relationship with one another of one accord, reaching out, blessing one another. And then God fulfilled His promise. He is not slack concerning His promise, is He? As some men count slackness, God fulfilled the promise. And we are there again. And just like the disciples were asked the question, how can we possibly fulfill this great commission when there are millions out there and 120 of us in here? We too are faced with that same problem today. You see, because there are only a few of us, and now we measure the world not in millions, but in billions, thousands of millions, we measure population in today. And we have 16 million Adventists. How can we possibly reach the world? Is it going to be in our strength with our technology? Or are we going to fulfill the promise and wait for the Holy Spirit? Are we going to rely on God? Are we going to have that revival? Are we going to assume that we're cool because we're God's people and it's okay, we've got it together, so we can do it ourselves? Are we at the bottom of the mountain or are we in the upper room? How are we going to fulfill the three angels' message. How can that happen for us any more than it happened for those disciples? Isn't it time for Pentecost to be repeated? The need is great. The time is right. Now. Now is the time to be asking the Lord. It comes because we ask. Turn, well, you don't need to turn. I'll read it for you. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. God is longing to break into our world and make a difference. We need to ask. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. That's asking us revival. We need revival. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Amen. That's Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. It is time. It is time. It is the season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Now is the time. Now is the time. On your bulletin, you will find on the back of your bulletin, right at the bottom of the bulletin. Are you with me? Testimonies to Ministers, page 511. The dispensation in which we are when? Now. The dispensation in which we are now living. Not sometime in the future. Not in the sweet by and by. Not a long time from now. Not when our kids and grandkids come up who are not yet able to cook. We're not waiting for them. Now is the time. The dispensation in which we are now living is to be to those that, what? Ask the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Ask for His blessing. It is time. It is time. It is time we were more intense in our devotion. To us is committed the arduous but happy, glorious work of doing what? Of sitting around wondering if we're all kosher? Are you okay? Am I okay? Are you doing right? Am I doing right? We live to the Lord and we take our message to the streets. Amen. That's what our job is. To us is committed the arduous but happy, glorious work of revealing Christ to those who are in darkness. That is our work. The three angels' work is a message to go out and spread God's message. We are called to proclaim the special truths for this time. We proclaim them to those who are there who know not our God. For all this, the outpouring of the Spirit is what? Essential. Essential. We should pray for it. The Lord expects us. What? The Lord expects us to ask. Wow. We have not been wholehearted in this work. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you a question now that I don't want a show of hands. I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to move your heads, nod your heads, or anything. How many people were more interested in the fact today that I got a new haircut than they were interested in the fact that we need the Holy Spirit? I'm sorry, but it bothers me that we are concerned about the wrong things. We need the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. We need God to move in our lives in a way that we have not seen. We need God in us. We are called to bless others, to make a difference in lives, to serve God with our whole heart, to ask for His Spirit, to couple this revival with evangelism. This week, Wednesday night, 7:30, right here, we start one of the pre-events for Net 2011. The Creation versus Evolution seminar is this Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, 5 nights. Starting this Wednesday, let's be praying more. Let's be asking the Holy Spirit more. Let's be reaching out to our neighbors and friends and relatives and co-workers and the guy at the gas station and whoever else. And doing that great commission. In that upper room, there were how many? 120. Did we get a count yet, Michael? Did we get a count yet? 126. Okay, we got 6 people who can do nothing. I got 120 of you here. No, you're not one of those 6. Sorry. We have 120 here. Within just a few days in Acts chapter 4, they had 15,000. Can you imagine with the Holy Spirit's power what could happen in Lakeland? Are we looking to have the same thing again here that happened last month, last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Lakeland never changes? Is that what we want? Or are we looking to have the Lord make something different happen here? We have about the same number here that was in that upper room. What can we have by September 30 when Net 2011 starts? What can we be done? What can the Lord do? What can the Lord do? Wow. Fantastic things, huh? Fantastic things. But we need to fulfill those conditions too. We need to allow that revival to happen in us. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We need to have that relationship with heaven and that relationship with one another so that God can fulfill His promise this week. I want you to take this opportunity to allow that revival to work in you, to allow that evangelism to flow out of you that naturally comes from a heart in love with Jesus. Perhaps, like the appeal in our book was this week, we can fall to our knees and say to the Lord, I give you permission to work in me in any way you wish to bless others and to win souls for your kingdom. Can you pray that prayer this week? Asking the Lord to show you what He wants you to do, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Are you willing to say whatever it is with God? It's kind of scary. But say it. Whatever it is, God, by your grace I choose to do it. Not my strength, the strength of the Holy Spirit. I'm open to serve you. I'm open to serve you and use the gifts that you've given me. Are you willing to ask God to reveal His will to you and then you follow it? That's an upper room experience.